Two Sundays ago, I shared about God's tremendous love for you and I. He said in his word in Jeremiah 31 verse 3, "Yes, I loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you." As Augustine put it, God loves each one of us as if there were only one of us. His love for us is unconditional. As Philip Yancey once wrote, "There is nothing we can do to make God love us more, and there's nothing we can do to make God love us less." And having said that today, friends, that while God loves us dearly, He wants that we love Him back. He wants us to love Him also. I realize that the creative force behind all things, whether it's great art or great drama or great music or architecture or writing, behind all this is passion. Nothing great is ever accomplished in life without passion. Nothing great is ever sustained in life without passion. A friend of mine said to me, the reason why he loves the symphony is because of the passion of the musicians. They practice for thousands of hours, not because they have to, but because they want to. Without passion, life is boring, it's dull, it is monotonous, it's routine. God created us, friends, with emotions to have passion in your life, and He wants us to live a passionate life. Passion is what energizes life. Passion is what mobilizes armies into action. Passion is what makes the impossible possible. Passion is what causes explorers to boldly go where no man has been before. Passion is what causes scientists to spend late night hours trying to find a cure for dreaded illnesses. Passion is what takes a good athlete and makes them into a great athlete. Passion is what gives you the reason to get up in the morning and say, "I'm going to do something with my life today." One day, a teacher of the law, a man came up to Jesus. He walks up to Jesus and he says, "Lord, what's the most important commandment in the Bible?" And Jesus says in Mark 12 verse 30, which is our text for today, Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God passionately. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment." What Jesus is saying here, nothing else matters that much. That's the number one thing in life. He was saying, "I want you to love me passionately." I love how Mark 12 verse 30 says it in the Message paraphrase of the Bible. Jesus said, "So love the Lord God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy." Do you see that, friends? After reading that, you can't begin to now wonder, how must I love God? The word passion in Greek is the word heart. God is saying, "I want you to put in some energy. I want you to put some muscle into it. I want you to put some emotion into your relationship with me. Don't be casual. Don't be half-hearted. Give it all you got. Give it some spark and enthusiasm and zeal and zest. I want you to love and love me passionately. Friends, the fact is, this truth is all through the Bible. The Bible tells us that we are to seek and to love and to serve and to obey and to trust God passionately. And then, as if we didn't get the message, Colossians 3 verse 23 says, whatever you do, do it with all your heart, as unto the Lord and not unto man. Yes, the amazing thing. Nowadays, it's okay to be passionate about anything except God. It's not politically correct to be passionate about God. You can be passionate about movies, about sports and politics and fashion, but you don't dare be passionate about God. That's a no-no. I can shout my head off at a hockey game. You must hear me. I tell the players how to play, but I don't know how to skate. That doesn't matter. I can get hoarse from yelling so loud. When my team loses, I can cry and everybody thinks that's okay. When my team wins, I can jump up and down and dance around and throw my hands in the air. And all the people will say, man, he's a real fan. But if I do that in church before God, the people will say, he's a fanatic. You don't want to get too emotional. Now, this emotion that you see me, I'm passionate about this. This is the African blood. I can't change it. But you know what, friends? We have to be passionate about serving God, about loving God. Hey? Too long have we dragged our feet. Too long have we been casual, haphazard, nonchalant. Friends, you don't want to be nowadays in this world. You don't want to be too passionate. It's okay to about anything else, but not that. And then when the church is all quiet and sad and solemn, those same people call us the frozen chosen. Friends, being passionate is not automatic. It's a choice. It's a discipline. It's something you must maintain. Being passionate about God has nothing to do with your personality or your age. I know many, many senior citizens who have been serving God for a long, long time are really passionate about God. I know some people who are introvert by nature, but they are passionate for God. Friends, there are some Christians, sadly, who lose their steam and their enthusiasm and zeal. What happens? But that's what I want to look at today. We're going to look at some passion killers that are out there to rob you of the joy of the Lord, to rob you of your love for God, and to keep you from having a constant love and passion for the Lord. And that's the first one I want to mention, is an unbalanced schedule. This means that if you are overworked or if you are underworked, you're going to lose your passion for life and for God. Life is a series of events. The Bible says there's a season for everything. There's a rhythm to life. You need both. You need to rest and you need to work. Too much of either will cause you to lose your passion. Psalm 127 verse 2. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat. For God gives rest to his loved ones. God wants you to get proper rest. And for some of us, the problem is that we are always giving out. We're always helping. We're always sharing. We're always serving. We're always working. And we're always being generous. And we never take time to recharge. And if we don't recharge, we will eventually get compassion fatigue. Now, what is compassion fatigue? Compassion fatigue is when you stop caring. I don't care. Compassion fatigue. I don't care about God anymore. I don't care about anybody anymore. I don't care about anything anymore. Why? Because I'm burning out. Others is the exact opposite. You're always thinking, taking in, but never giving out. You go to all the Bible studies and you come to church and you're always learning and you're always taking in, but you're not giving anything out. You don't have a ministry. You don't have a mission. You're not helping anybody. You're going to, you're just taking all the spiritual food in and getting fatter and fatter until one day we'll have to roll you down the aisle. And I think that's where the term holy rollers come from. You're taking in, but you're never giving out. Our problem is either we have too much output and not enough input, or we have too much input and not enough output. We need to work and we need to rest. And how do we do that? One word. Balance. Balance. We all know to be physically healthy, you have to have a balanced diet. To be spiritually healthy, you have to have a balance of God's purposes for your life, in your life. You need to have time to worship with God. You need to have times when you are fellowshipping with other believers. You need to have times when you are reading and studying the Word of God and growing to be a Christian and to become like Christ. You need to have times of ministry and serving and giving out and using your abilities. You need to have times of mission when you're sharing your faith with others. Friends, if you tend to focus just on one of the purposes, for example, just having a lot of fellowship and nothing else, or a lot of Bible study and nothing else, you are going to get imbalanced, and you will inevitably lose your compassion. Your passion. You will say, how come I don't feel so close to God like I used to? Because you are a balance, and that is one passion killer. Another one is unused talent. An unused talent will cause you to lose your passion for life and your passion for God. 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Notice, God gives you a certain talent, ability, a gift, friends, not for your benefit, but for the benefit of other people. God has given you a special role in the world. God wants you to make a contribution with your life. And if you don't, friends, you are going to lose your compassion and your passion, friends. And that's why I encourage everyone to always get involved in the church. Get involved. To use your talents for the Lord. Thirdly, which is a big one, is unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. There are only a few things that rob us of joy, our confidence, our passion, more quickly than guilt. Guilt comes as a result of unconfessed sin. And the truth is that we cannot feel enthusiasm and guilt at the same time. You can't feel guilt and passion at the same time, because guilt, by its very definition, robs you of passion. Psalm 38, verse 4, and then later, and in verse 6, David said, "My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. I am bowed down and I am brought very low." You're not made to live with guilt. God did not make you to carry guilt around in your life. He made you to deal with it. And He offers us a gift. He offers us freedom from guilt. In 1 John 1 verse 9 He says, "If we confess our sins, He," God, "is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Friends, that's His promise. To confess means to agree with God. To confess means to agree with God. "God, I agree with You. What I did was wrong. It was a sin. Help me, Lord. Free me from this guilt." And the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Another version says He can be trusted to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I encourage you, friends, do it now. Don't wait. Sometimes we carry guilt around for days and weeks and months and years, and we shouldn't even carry it around for 1 minute. Do something about it. Do it now in your heart and mind. Take it to God and say, "I confess it, Lord. I was wrong. Relieve me of this guilt, Lord. Thank You for forgiving me." And that will restore your passion, friends. Fourthly, another passion killer is unresolved conflict. Unresolved conflict. Conflict just drains the passion out of you. Don't you agree? You start the day and you say, "Man, this is going to be a great day." And as you're on the way out of the door, you and your wife, you draw swords. You draw swords. You know, you have arguments. I don't know what that means, but anyway. And it's like the air going out of a tire, man. Conflict comes and it does this to us. It takes all the passion out of our lives. And if you want the passion to be restored in your heart, in your life, you have to forgive. You have to let it go. Just put the person in, or the conflict in, God's hand and say, "Lord, I can't handle this. You can. I forgive them. I leave it with You." If you don't, friends, the unforgiveness is going to kill your passion for life. Number five. Unsupported lifestyle. That will be a passion killer for you. Unsupported lifestyle. Sometimes you lose passion for God because you're not spending time around other people who have passion for God. I'll say that again because, man, that's very important. Sometimes you lose passion for God because you're not spending time around other people who have passion for God. You're not spending time around other Christians. You're not getting any fellowship. I like Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 and 10. It's a very practical verse. Two are better than one, because if one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. We need each other. Amen. 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 We all fall at sometimes. At times, friends. We all stumble at times. And we all need people to build us up in the most holy faith. Amen. We need people to encourage us. It's not only for difficult times, it's for good times too. Human beings are made for relationship. Do you know that in prison, when they want to give someone the ultimate punishment, they put them in solitary confinement. Solitary confinement. Because we are made, friends, to be around other people. That's how great God created us. That's how God created us. You know, as a pastor over the years, I've seen a lot of people lose their passion for God. And there's always a predictable pattern. First thing that happens, they stop coming to church. They break away from relationships with other people. And they have a lot of reasons to tell them why that's okay. And the next thing that happens is that their heart starts to turn cold. They feel far from God, and they feel like God's far from them. You know, it starts out, friends. They stay away from church for a few weeks, and it's like, hey, I feel bad about that. And after that, it becomes, oh, well, that's okay. You know, Helen and I, we see crowds of people. I say to Helen, do you think those people are saying, I can't wait to get to church tomorrow? Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let's not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day, capital D, approaching. The day when Jesus comes again. The sixth passion killer, friends, is an unclear purpose. When you forget the purpose of life, your passion dies. If you don't know your purpose, why bother? Friends, life without purpose is activity without direction. It's motion without meaning. It's easy to forget why we are on earth. We get distracted by all kinds of things. We forget the reason God put us here. And when we forget why God put us here, we drift away from God. Maybe you felt like Isaiah, who said in Isaiah 49 verse 4, I've labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Passion and purpose go together. When you have a clear purpose, it's only going to give you lots of passion. But it's got to be God's purposes for your life, friends. How are you going to have passion for God when you don't know His purpose for your life? If you are living for yourself, that isn't going to make you very passionate. In fact, it's pathetic. And the more you understand God's purposes for your life, the more you live those purposes, the more passionate you're going to be, friends. Lastly, another passion killer is an undernourished spirit that will kill your passion. An undernourished spirit. Every day we face all kinds of circumstances that try to shrink your spirit and to shrivel your heart. Every day. You can be laughing about something and turn on the news. And you can have your heart shriveled and your spirit will shrink just by something that happened. Or you might be enjoying life and you get a phone call and your life is turned upside down. Friends, every day you are going to have distractions and disappointments. Every day you're going to have conflicts and challenges and changes. Every day you're going to have problems and pressures. Every day you're going to have frustration and fears and failures and fatigue. All of these things are trying to kill your passion. So we must intentionally nourish our spirits. If you don't, nobody else is going to do it for you. And how do you do that? You spend time in worship with God, where you get to know Him. You need fellowship with other believers. You need to read God's word and grow to be more like Jesus. You need to have a ministry where you are using your talents to help others. And you need to have a mission in the world where you're telling your faith to other people. So how do you do that? Easy. You start by remembering how God feels about you. See how that happens? You remember how God feels about you. Did you know He's hopelessly in love with you? The reason many are not passionate about God because they have forgotten how passionate God is about them. Exodus 34 verse 14. You must worship only the Lord, for He is a God who is passionate about His relationship with you. God is passionate about you. He made you to love you. He created you to be the object of His love. And the more you understand how passionate He is about you, the more you're going to become passionate about Him. In conclusion, this is a long conclusion. Ellen says, I always say, in conclusion, then I go on. I'm warning you now. You know, a passionless Christian is a contradiction in terms. Passionless Christian, it's an oxymoron. You know, it's an oxymoron, opposites. A giant shrimp is an oxymoron. Passionless Christian. Those two don't go together. They're opposites. But I want to contrast that with these words penned by Bob Moorhead. He entitles it, My Commitment as a Christian. I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense, and my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame division, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotion, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, topped, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I'm uplifted by prayer and labor by power. My face is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way rough, my companions few, my guide reliable, my mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, tempted, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up, until I have prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach till all knows, and work till He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He will have no problem recognizing me, for my title will be clear. Does that sound like passion to you, friends? That's how I want to be. That is what I call passion for God and life. What's your passion, friends? Do you passionately love God? Do you know that the worst sin for Christians is? God tells us in Revelation chapter 3. It's called lukewarmness. That's the worst sin for Christians. No passion. You read Revelation 3:16, where Jesus said, I'd rather have you hot or cold. Lukewarmness makes me sick to my stomach. To some, God is just one part of their lives. I've actually heard people say, I'm so glad that God is a part of my life. Well, they have their social life, right? Entertainment life, career life, family life. They have a little piece called church life. C.S. Lewis said it like this. The only thing Christianity cannot be is moderately important. Yes. Friends, if Jesus is God and He died for you and He loves you, you owe Him the rest of your life, all of your life, every single minute of it. Let me read a little story here. One day a young disciple of Christ, desirous for wanting to become all that God has in store for him, visited the home of an elderly Christian. He had heard that this old man over the years had never lost his first love for Christ. The elderly man was sitting on the porch with his dog, taking in the beautiful sunset. The young man posed this question: "Why is it, sir, that most Christians zealously chase after God during the first year or two after their conversion, but then fall into a complacent ritual of church once or twice a month and end up not looking much different than the neighbors who aren't Christians yet?" The young man said, "I have heard that you are not like that. I have heard that you have fervently sought after God throughout all these years. People see something in you that they do not see in most other people. What makes you different?" The old man smiled and replied, "Let me tell you a story. One day I was sitting quietly in the sun with my dog. Suddenly, a large white rabbit ran across the field right in front of us. Well, my dog jumped up and took after the big rabbit. He chased the rabbit over the hills with a passion. Soon, other dogs joined him, attracted by his barking. What a sight it was as a pack of dogs ran barking across the creeks, up the stony embankments, through thickets and through the thorns. Gradually, however, one by one, the other dogs dropped out of the pursuit, discouraged by the cause and frustrated by the chase. Only my dog continued to hotly pursue the white rabbit. Now that's a story, young man. In that story, young man, lies the answer to your question." The young man sat in confused silence. Finally, he said, "Sir, I don't understand. What is the connection between the rabbit chase and the quest and lack of passion for God?" "You fail to understand," answered the well-seasoned old man, "because you fail to ask the obvious question, and that is, why didn't the other dogs continue with the chase? And the answer to that question is, they had not seen the rabbit." You got it, friends? Sometimes we can come to church all we like, but unless we've had a relationship, a personal encounter with the living God, until we are lavished in His love, and we see His love demonstrated towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, and we cry out to Him to forgive us and to save us and to write our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And until we have that moment, we haven't seen the rabbit. Do you see that, friends? We're just going through the motions. That's why we find Christians dragging their feet, is because they have not had an encounter with the living God. Do you know, I know people, friends, listen, none of them are here. Man, they know all the words of songs. They say amen just the right time, but they're not saved. Friends, are you in a relationship with the one true God? Listen, it's got nothing to do with this building. You see, this building, it's gonna get old and tired. Huh? Don't put your faith in a building. Do you have a relationship with the one true God? Do you know Jesus? Are you growing in your faith? Sometimes we know people for many years in the church, but there's no growth. Is your passion for Him ingrained in your very soul? God knows your heart. God knows that you desire that passion to be ignited in your life. You know what John Wesley once asked? Was once asked the secret about his ministry. You know what he said? I asked God to set me on fire and to let people watch me burn. Isn't that something, friends? My prayer is that your life and my life will be on fire for God. Amen? We will let it burn in us and set on fire with a passionate love for God. A passion to love the Lord your God, as our text said, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And as you think about God's love for you this morning, take a moment right now to go through the checklist. Let's put that checklist up there. See what is the passion killer that's robbing you. Maybe it's an unbalanced schedule. You need to say, Lord, help me to quit being so busy that I don't have any time to love you. Maybe it's an unused talent that God brought you here this morning to say, start using your gifts I have given you. Tell Him, Lord, give me the strength. Show me how I can do that. Maybe it's unconfessed sin. If you didn't confess earlier, do it now, friends. Jesus died to forgive you of that sin. Say to Jesus, Jesus, thank you for forgiving me. It might be unresolved conflict. As best as you can resolve it right now in your heart and with other persons, do it, friends. Maybe the cause for compassion dying is your life is an unsupported lifestyle. You've been trying to go it alone. You need to say, God, bring some people into my life. Let me rub shoulders with other men of God and sisters of God. Let me have fellowship and to build each other up in the most holy faith. Maybe it's an unclear purpose. You've been living for yourself, and God reminded you today that He has a plan and purpose for your life. Say, thank you, Lord. Maybe the cause for passion dying is an undernourished spirit. Focus your heart on the strength that only God can give. Draw nourishment from Him, friends. Let's pray that God ignites the passion in our lives and the passion to love Him dearly. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, you are here in all your splendor. You are here in all your glory. We are just amazed by your love for us. The moment you heard us begin to worship, you turned up to receive as a sweet smelling aroma the praise and worship of your children. Lord, thank you for loving us. And today, we say, Lord, We love you too. And sometimes, Lord, we have struggled. We have allowed situations in our lives that have killed the love and passion we have for you. Lord, you have spoken to all of us. No one is exempt. Everyone is included. You have spoken to us, Lord, through the Holy Spirit. And we pray, Father, that, Lord, you would reignite that fire in our souls. Bless everyone here, Lord. Everyone on Zoom in their homes. Everyone who will listen later to your word. Touch our lives, Lord. Quicken us. It's all about you. And we love you dearly. Amen.